I get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a good
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, I'm about to
What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy, the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Hey, good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
Now, I was just listening to the Rewind, where you guys were talking to our intern, Stella. So I'm glad you guys had a chance to sit down, because you were kind of making fun of her at first for being an intern.
I wasn't making fun of her, but I think that's common sense.
No, we just asked a question.
I think it's pretty common sense that if you hear about a 33-year-old intern in radio,
inquire about
it. You're going to want to know why. Like, why?
But I told you guys I had a conversation with her a while ago when she first started about her mom being sick, so her having to defer her own dreams. A lot of people hit me up after that and were saying that they were older and they were doing internships in different fields, because it's never too late.
She was reclaiming her time
to pursue your dreams.
Yeah, we did a whole segment about it. A lot of people called up and told us about that. That was pretty dope.
She's reclaiming her time. I mean, it's never too late to pursue your dreams, but always remember, in the pursuit of your dreams, you have to deal with your reality.
Absolutely.
And the reality is, bills need to be paid. If you're 30 plus and trying to intern, you might have kids and other responsibilities.
You got responsibilities. You have to take care of absolutely.
First. So yes.
But there's a lot of people who actually had kids early that never got to pursue their dreams. And then later on
fine.
In life.
Well, later on, when the kids are 18 years old, 19 years old.
They don't have to be
old.
18.
Oh, older. Once they're a little older and can take care of themselves, yeah.
Like, I have a friend from college who had kids with her husband early. He was able to go out and do what he wanted to do, but because she was handling responsibilities at home, she kind of put her stuff on hold. And she waited, and now her kids are about like 11 and 12, so now she's getting back into it.
All I know is that Armageddon is upon us. Okay?
Yeah, it's getting pretty nasty out there.
And it's pretty hard to enjoy life and just enjoy, like, the little things in life when you realize there's so much other BS going on in the world.
Yeah, there's a lot of
whether
BS.
Whether it's that damn DACA, what's it called?
DACA.
Whether it's DACA, whether it's
Irma.
Hurricanes, whether it's flooding,
right.
Whether it's fires in California, it's just all bad out here. Okay,
yeah.
It's pretty hard to enjoy things when you know this type of BS is going on in the world.
Well, it's back to school, too, for a lot of the kids. So
back
I know
to
for
school.
Me,
my
I
daughter goes back today.
Yeah, mine goes, the little ones go today and the older ones go tomorrow. But, you know, I had to do all the back to school shopping. But I got a call from Bun B, and Bun B actually found this tractor trailer, 18-wheeler, in the New Jersey area. And he said that, you know, pretty much we can have it and we can put whatever we want in it, water, clothes, Pampers, and all types of stuff. I'll give you all the information and we can ship it out to Houston.
Oh, that's great.
Who's going to drive the truck, though?
You.
I'm not driving the truck.
You can drive the truck.
No.
I'm sure he has somebody who drives the
truck.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
It don't sound crazy. Let's just put everything in perspective. Everything needs to be on the table before you
when a bus is going to drive the truck?
Who's going to drive the truck?
Who's going to drive the truck? Let's get all the details out, okay?
So I'll get you more information, but he definitely called with a truck and a driver, and he said we could actually have it, and we could fill it up and make it pretty dope. But we'll get all the information as that. All right, but Jason Williams will be joining us this morning.
If you don't know who Jason Williams is, he caught a body. What year was that? Maybe, I don't know. When was that? Late 90s?
No, I think
early
it was 2002.
I think it was early 2000s.
He used to play for the New Jersey Nets
and the Philadelphia 76ers.
He was, I wouldn't say a dirty player, but he was a rebounder. He was he would dive on the floor.
He was the kind of player that's not in the NBA anymore.
They call him the garbage man. He would do everything nobody else would do. And then he caught a body. Like Charlamagne said, he shot his driver.
By accident. It was a drunk,
but then he tried to cover it up.
Yeah, it was a drunken, terrible accident that he tried to cover up.
He went to jail in 2010.
Right. We'll talk to him a little later.
02?
It was 02.
02, he accidentally caught that body.
Right. All right. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But now we got front page news. What are we talking about?
Well, of course, we're going to talk about Hurricane Irma, praying for everybody in Montserrat and everywhere else in the Eastern Caribbean islands and all of that. We'll give you that update. And, of course, DACA.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Here's Khaled, Riri, Bryce, and Tilla. It's Wild Thoughts. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, let's get a hurricane update. Where are we with Irma? Where are we with Harvey?
But Hurricane Irma is near Eastern Caribbean islands. It's a Category 5 storm as of last night, and it's on some islands like Antigua and Barbuda and Montserrat, which is where my family is from. I'm actually going there for Thanksgiving. Puerto Rico, the United States, and British Virgin Islands, and St. Kitts. A lot of places, St. Martin, St. Bart's, all of those places.
Anguilla. I was talking to my people in Anguilla last night. They already had lost power. They were just waiting for impact.
Yeah, so it's too early to tell whether or not the storm will make landfall on the U.S. mainland, but it could turn to Florida over the weekend. In Florida already, there's been scarce as far as the gas prices are going up. They said water is selling out. People are really stocking up to make sure they're prepared just in case.
Now let's talk about DACA.
All right, DACA. Well, this has been the biggest story right now. So your president, Donald Trump, has rescinded DACA. Here is what Attorney General Jeff Sessions has to say about that decision.
The program known as DACA that was effectuated under the Obama administration is being rescinded. This will enable the Department of Homeland Security to conduct an orderly change and fulfill the desire of this administration to create a time period for Congress to act should it so choose.
Now, for people that don't know what DACA is, to explain to them what DACA is.
Well, that is for the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival. So basically, these are people who were born to immigrants, were born in this country. A lot of them have never been anywhere else, and they have been given protection to stay here, get their jobs here. They're not considered illegal. They have to apply for that. And
we're not born here. They came here as minors.
Or they came here as kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically, this is home for them. They never lived anywhere else. And they're able to, they pay taxes, they do what they have to do, so they are protected. Yvonne Orji actually posted, she said, I came to this country as a six-year-old child because America was suffering a nursing shortage. So they recruited nurses from Africa and other nations to do the jobs that were hard and tiresome and few people wanted. These immigrants filled a necessary need in this country. I am a benefactor of the open door of immigration. My dreams are manifesting because of the promises embedded in the fabric of what already makes this country great. To strip this hope and livelihood of a select few you under the false guise of fear is preposterous. We are immigrants. This is our home, too. I stand with dreamers.
Well, our celebrity in chief, Donald Trump, is just appeasing his base. But doesn't Congress have to vote to make this official?
Yeah, I believe so.
I think they do, and I personally don't think Congress will do it, and then Trump can blame Congress and his fan base is still pleased. But all I know is DACA and hurricanes
DACA.
And North Korea saying they're going to hit us, you know, this is a very bad time.
Now, our former President Barack Obama posted on Facebook about this because obviously he's the one who started DACA. He said, we all want safe, secure borders and a dynamic economy, and people of goodwill can have legitimate disagreements about how to fix our immigration system so everybody plays by the rules. But that's not what the action that the White House took today is about. This is about young people who grew up in America, kids who study in our schools, young adults who are starting careers, patriots who pledge allegiance to our flag. These dreamers are Americans in their hearts, in their minds, in every single way but one on paper. They were brought to this country by their parents, sometimes even as infants. They may not know a country besides ours or even a language besides English. So you should read the whole entire statement that our former President Barack Obama made on Facebook that really kind of breaks it down and explains what DACA is all about.
All right. Well, last front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night, bad morning, you want to vent, hit us up. Or maybe you feel blessed, call us up right now. Phone lines are wide open. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hey, what's your name, Mama?
Hi, I'm Samita.
Now, you feel blessed this morning, Mama?
I do feel blessed. One of my friends actually passed away last week, and his funeral was yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry
but,
to hear that.
Thank you. 14 years ago, I was in a car accident, and I almost died, and I had my right leg amputated.
Wow.
But now I am the fastest female amputee in the United States.
What do you mean, like racing?
She's going to be in the Olympics.
Yes.
Oh, that's
yes.
dope. What's your name?
Samita.
Samita, okay.
Yes.
Samita,
oh,
what?
Congratulations. That's incredible.
Thank you.
I want to look out for you. Samita what?
Oh, Samita Ayenbeku. My last name is A-Y-E-N-B-E-K-U. A N as in Nancy, B as in boy, E K U.
When's your next race, Mama?
Next year we'll go to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
This year we have the World Championships in London. I don't know if you guys follow the Olympics.
Oh, so your name is Femita.
So hold on, don't take this the wrong way now. Is it Special Olympics or like what? Is it regular Olympics?
So this is the problem that we always have. It's the Paralympics. So we, the same way as the Olympics, we're just people with physical disabilities.
Gotcha.
Okay, Paralympics.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. My name is Femita. Yes. I am Becca.
Good luck.
Yes. I am verified on Instagram, so when you find me.
Oh, go ahead with your little check.
Hello, who's this?
Envy, what's up? This is David.
David, what's up, man? Get it off your chest.
I don't have nothing to get off my chest. Look, I'm a creative writer, and I want to know how I can write for these artists. You know what I'm saying? I need to be heard. Somebody needs to read these lyrics. I've been writing stuff like Drake before he even came out, and I think it's time for somebody to look over this. Envy, how do I get myself out there with the writing?
This is an ASCII question.
Yes, number one, you don't call it a radio station. That's so 1990.
Yeah, you do what you gotta do, baby. You do what you gotta do. How do I do it?
This is the only outlet.
But might I recommend that you write some songs for somebody that can actually do the reference track so that you have the songs like done and complete and then try to shop them like that?
Yeah, Angela Yee doesn't rap. Neither does Charlamagne Envy.
I have no idea how to get into the music business. I'm going to be honest with you.
I did used to consult, though, as an A&R, and I will tell you what you need to do is get somebody who can perform those songs, record those songs for you, and then try to sell them like that.
There you go.
I hear so many different ways to get in the music business, and they're never traditional ways anymore. Everything's so unorthodox. Cardi B got the number two song in the country.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
And this is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah. Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is the Green Eye Genie, creator of hip-hop. What it do, what it do?
You're not the creator of hip-hop. Relax, bro.
The Green Eye Genie, what's up, man?
Hey, yo, let me just share something with you. Man, some guys from London came in about what hip-hop was and what it stood for. Miss Gwendolyn Jokar Harris is my mother. 1969, she invented in the whole New York City every project in the whole New York City, Housing Tenant Patrol 250 Broadway. My mother had the mayor come over to Bronx there. We was bringing out the music with Cool DJ D, Tyrone the Mixologist. Afrika Bambaataa was a little boy running around with my brother Darius. It was dirty.
Is Afrika Bambaataa was running around with a little boy?
Stop it.
What'd you say?
Is that all you heard from his whole thing?
What did you say?
Well, my brother and I, they was running around with gangs running around. I was the president of the Baby Space in 1973, 74. As a little kid, we had the gangs in the projects. But this is what I wanted to say to you quick. A DJ is someone that spins records, and he goes to a store and buy electronic equipment, whether it's turntables. The music that he's played is somebody else's creative art, whether you're practicing in a center or in your house, you get a record deal, and then it goes to the store and the DJ plays it. So hip-hop can't fit that. Anyone graffiti is one that's destructive and damaging property, whether it's on a train or
my brother, what are you talking about this morning? What's the moral of this story, sir?
The moral of the story that I'm the creator of hip-hop. I started this before Grandmaster Flash and Melly Mel and didn't exist. Cold Crush Brothers.
Have a blessed day, sir. Have a blessed day. We wish you the best. You know,
oh my goodness.
Sometimes we don't take mental illness seriously in our community, but we need to. Okay?
You might be right. I don't know. Chiz.
Hello.
What's your name, bro?
I'm not calling no grown man Jizz.
My name Chase Banks. What's up, y'all?
Chase. Yo,
Chase
Taylor,
Banks.
You better get this. Yo, Taylor, put Jizz.
You say Jizz. I'm like, why are you calling a grown man Jizz?
What's up, Jizz?
I know. My name Chase Banks. Like Chase. Like Chase.
Yeah, we got you,
like
Chase.
Like Bank.
Okay,
duh.
B-A-N-X.
All Chase right. Banks from Harlem. Chest, big dish, right? I went to go see this chick. Boom. She choking all this on the phone. Fine. I get over there. I smoke my ball with her. I smoke 220s of pep with her. Boom. We blaze.
Oh, my God.
Then she choked this. Yo, I got my period, this and that. My period came down, blah, 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 blah. I'm not lying. You want to see my pad? Yeah, I want to see your pad. Let me see.
What?
Show me. Yeah, no question. I'm not coming out here, brother. I'm not playing with you. Let me see. She showed me. Boom. I said, all right, well, I said, yo, but dig this. Your mouth ain't bleeding. She said, no, I don't really get down like that. You're not my man, bro.
What if she just said, I got gingivitis, so my mouth is bleeding?
Huh? Say it again?
Why do New York guys use so many sound effects when they talk?
Well, I want to hear the end of his story.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yo, listen, right? I tells her, your mouth not bleeding. she says, I don't give it up like that, blah, blah, blah. I'm gone. I leave her. Now, check this out. I jump in my car, I go to the store. While I store, I go buy a Dutch. I go to the store, but in the back, they got a fruit that machine, like a machine, you know, a slot machine jump off.
What kind of noise the machine make? Like, da 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 da.
Yeah, you know, whatever. It makes no machine. I'm just in there. I put my money in there. I keep putting my money in there. I'm in there for about 2 hours and a half. Sweating. They got me for about eight and some change. I'm down about my last $16. Check this. I dig in my pocket. I pull out my mailbox key and stuck it inside the padlock. That shit opened up. I hope they listening to Power 105 right now. It opened up the lock.
What the lock sound like when it opened, though?
Huh?
What the lock sound like when it opened?
Come on, my man. You on joke time, man. It popped open. Whatever sound you want to make.
How much money you got?
Yeah, well, how my heart sounded when I seen all them 20s in there. It opened up, so now I'm looking. It's only him and
okay.
his daughter.
All right. I've had enough.
The money out, and okay. I got the money. And I'm
no goofy. Doubt.
How much money?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I got my 800 and about 300
more.
11 and some change.
My G, got you, got you.
So you robbed an illegal slot machine in an illegal bodega?
No question.
You can't hold back.
So we just went from a period showing a pad to robbing
an illegal a slot machine.
All
in
I
a
heard
bodega.
Was to tell him why you mad. Into it, tell them why you blessed. That's what I heard just now. That was the essence of tell them why you mad and then tell them why you blessed.
Get it off
you're
your
mad
chest.
About the period, but you blessed because you robbed an illegal slot machine.
800-585-1051. We got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yeah. Let's talk about somebody who is going through a lot right now. She just put her husband on blast for actually trying to divorce her while she's pregnant and one of her children is sick with cancer and he's been planning a divorce. In the meantime, also, we'll give you an update on Lil Wayne.
All right. All that and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, we told you yesterday that Lil Wayne suffered from some seizures and had to cancel a show in Vegas. He is out of the hospital right now. He's been released and he is taking a break. He's supposed to take 2 weeks to recover. So he's been advised to avoid overdoing it on tour. He's going to get some rest, some relaxation. His next show will be September 23rd. And as of now, he will be there.
So do they know why he's having these seizures again?
Well, he
doesn't
has
he suffer from epilepsy?
Epilepsy, yeah. Epilepsy. He has said that he's epileptic, so he's been having these seizures, and I guess he's just got to be careful and not overdo it.
Mm.
Stay hydrated. And some people were trying to say lean. He's been on that lean, and that also causes seizures. But his daughter, Regine, had posted, "Don't believe everything you hear."
Take care of yourself, kids. Mm-hmm. That's the moral of the story, damn it.
All right, Kiki Wyatt has posted. Now, just in June, she shared that her toddler was battling cancer. And now she posted this video. Mind you, she is 8 months pregnant right now.
When you 8 months pregnant and you got a child sick in and out of the hospital and your husband got the nerve to tell you that he wants a divorce and he says that you're an emotional wreck. He says that from the very beginning, you never trusted me and all that kind of stuff. Like, telling other people, other women that we getting a divorce and don't, if she calls or it's like, what?
I mean, she does sound like an emotional wreck in that
video. But
she's
8 months pregnant with a child with cancer in the hospital.
That is true. But here's the
thing. Of course she's an emotional wreck.
This guy, what's his name, Michael Jamar?
Yes.
He got with her after she had three kids. This is what, their third child together? Mm-hmm. Like, at what point did you realize you don't trust her? Like, you can't shoot her club up three different times, have three kids from her.
They've been married for 7 years.
You can't have three whole kids from
maybe
her.
Maybe something happened in between. Maybe something happened in between.
He said he never trusted her from the beginning, is what she's saying.
So why'd you take the condom off if you didn't trust her from the beginning? And why'd you marry her? Why was you with her for 7 years? You shot her club up three times.
Oh, there's two sides to every story.
Well, they were on Marriage Boot Camp, if you guys had a chance to see that.
I did.
But here's the thing, is that she's 8 months pregnant. Why would you do this right now? while a woman is 8 months pregnant.
I mean,
because you want to make sure that every she's.
I mean, is there ever a right time to do something like this?
Not completely stressed out.
There's never a right time never to do right something time. Like this. I mean, yeah,
but,
whether she
but
had
I would
the baby
think that you
not.
Wouldn't want to stress somebody out right before they have a baby.
But we don't again, know what happened. We don't know good. What happened exactly. in that relationship and how far either side went. Exactly. So we honestly don't know.
Once again, there's never a right time to do
not
this.
Not to mention you have a child sick with cancer in the hospital.
Once again, there's infants. Never a right time to do this. We don't know what pushed him to want to
We don't know what pushed him to that level. We honestly don't know. Like, there is no right time.
And it had to be something. After you done got three kids with a person that already had three kids.
Right.
And now you decide to bail? I would love to hear his side of the story.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't know. I just think it's really terrible when somebody's about to have a baby because I would think any type of stress on the woman could harm the child.
You're right. You should leave immediately when the baby comes out the womb. That's better. Leave right when the baby comes
there's
out.
There's no right time.
There's no right time to do it.
So stress doesn't affect your child if you're pregnant?
That's bad too. Anything affects a child.
I mean,
or when a baby comes out, it could be a bad time. Any time is a bad time. We don't know what happened though.
All right. Well, we'll tell you who's having a good time right now. Jamie Foxx and Katie Holmes. It's been 4 years since people have been speculating that the two of them have been dating, but now they are out and about, and we can see pictures of them holding hands on the beach. If you have Revolt TV, you can see that. So previously, it's been hush, hush, hush.
I hate when Jamie Foxx wears a hat, because I always want to see what kind of hairline he's going to have for the day. He has an assortment of hairlines, a variety of different hairlines that he uses at various times, and I like to see him in action.
Right. Well, I guess for whatever reason, now they've decided, hey, we can come out of hiding. We're together. So cute. And it's been a while. All right. Tara Owens has decided to join Dancing with the Stars. He'll be on season 25. He made that announcement on Good Morning America. Check it out.
It's going to be a challenge. I think, yeah, just as she said yesterday, we got our first start at trying to learn some steps. So that's the challenge. Rhythm is not the issue. It's just really trying to incorporate everything that she's teaching. And I'm just going to let her take the lead, and I'm just going to follow.
He'll be with Cheryl Burke, so that's pretty exciting for him. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your Rumor Report.
All right, thank you, Ms. Yee. When we come back, we got front page news. We'll give you some updates on the hurricanes, Hurricane Irma, and also DACA. Am I saying it right? DACA?
Yes, DACA.
DACA. All right, we'll talk
DACA.
About it when we come
no
back.
Long talker.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Let's do some hurricane updates.
Yes. Right now in Puerto Rico, some residents are preparing to be without electricity for between 4 and 6 months, all because of Hurricane Irma in St. Thomas. People are praying that their roofs hold on. Irma is predicted to become the strongest hurricane on record to hit certain territories southeast from Puerto Rico. And it has the eye has passed over Barbuda. So right now, heavy rain, howling winds, Category 5 storm. In Florida, they are preparing right now. They said that the price of gas has gone up. And if you go to the stores, everybody's been stocking up on water and supplies. St. Kitts, Anguilla, all of those islands are in the storm's direct path, as well as Montserrat, where my mom is from. Also, the British Virgin Islands, Antigua, all of that.
Yeah, praying for all my Caribbean people, all my people in Anguilla. I really hope the eye of the storm skips or whatever.
And I hate it so
much.
Shout
out to everybody in St. Martin as well.
Mm-hmm. When people get into a situation like this and people take advantage, they charge $4 for gas and $4 a bottle for water. That just irks me so much.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, what if you die? So you jacked up the prices for nothing. Like, why are you thinking about money in your pockets in that situation? You should be thinking about the benefit of your fellow man.
Yeah, and that, it really affects the people that can't afford to pay those prices.
You should be trying to make things easier for your fellow man in this time.
Absolutely.
Not worse.
Let's talk about DACA.
Yes, right now DACA recipients, according to the White House, should prepare for departure from the United States. They are urging DACA recipients to
use
the time remaining on their work authorizations to prepare for and arrange their departure from the United States, and they should be proactively seeking travel documentation or applying for other immigration benefits for which they may be eligible.
This is all I know. Where do you want me to go when they say depart
from
the United
States? Now, those DACA recipients are kids who are minors that grew up in the United States. A lot of them never knew anywhere else's home, speak English only. And right now, the White House is preparing to tell them they no longer can be in this country. Here is what Attorney General Jeff Sessions has to say.
The program known as DACA that was effectuated under the Obama administration is being rescinded. This will enable the Department of Homeland Security to conduct an orderly change and fulfill the desire of this administration to create a time period for Congress to act should it so choose.
How about we deport all the racist bigots and keep everybody else? Because here's the thing, right? All of these rich, privileged, elite white people that don't want other people in this country, y'all got the money and the resources to leave. So why don't y'all pack up all y'all little, you know, redneck white devils that want to go with y'all and y'all go somewhere? Okay? How about y'all leave?
Well, since Barack Obama is the one who started DACA, he responded on Facebook. He did a very lengthy post, which you guys should read. But part of what he says is he talks about immigration and how controversial it is. And he said for years when he was president, he went to Congress to figure out a bill that if your parents brought you here as a child, if you've been here a certain number of years, if you're willing to go to college or serve in the military, you get a chance to stay and earn your citizenship. He said that bill never came and it made no sense to expel talented, driven, patriotic young people from the only country they know solely because of the actions of their parents. So that's why they came up with DACA, to give them some resources to be able to be in this country and not have to live in fear, just be able to pay taxes, get jobs, all of that.
Well, Donald Trump is just trying to appease his base, you know, but doesn't Congress have to vote to make this whole DACA thing official?
I believe so.
I personally don't think Congress will do that. And then Trump can blame them and his fan base is still pleased. But at the end of the day, this is a distraction from something, and I don't know what that something is yet. All I know is North Korea is saying that we're under the gun. Hurricanes are coming, and God is not pleased.
Well, let's hear what Montel Williams had to say about DACA and Trump ending DACA.
These dreamers are citizens. They've been paying taxes since birth or since they got here. And their contribution to this economy in this country is well over $250 billion a year. We're getting ready to look at about a $500 billion loss just because we want to hate. This has nothing to do with anything other than hate. If you soft pedal it any other way, you're lying and you give excuse to being able to kick people out.
All I know is God is not pleased. I don't believe in government. I believe in God. I'm still one of those throwback models of a human who believes in God. And when things are out of the realm of my understanding, like a lot of things are nowadays, that's where I turn to. Okay?
And pray.
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's front page news. Now, when we come back, former New Jersey Net, Jason Williams will be in the building now. Jason Williams, he had a lot of controversy. He killed his limo driver by accident.
In 2002.
He signed a $90 million contract with the Nets and then got injured.
Yes.
So we'll talk to him about all that. All right, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. Former NBA player, played for the 76ers and the New Jersey Nets when they played in New Jersey still.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Jason Williams.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Envy.
You still limping, my brother.
Nah, I got hurt in the gym. We work out every morning
at
4:30, 4:44 in the morning, and I was doing box jumps, and the guy in front of me is a little short, and I hit it on the way up, and it split my quad muscle all the way around, so I just had surgery.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking. I'm like, damn, you still living from the knee injury from 99?
Now, we were talking about you before you got in here, and we were saying that when you got in the league, you weren't necessarily the best shooter.
Right.
But you were a rebounder and you were a body.
Defensive player.
Right. Great defensive player. And you got a lot of money for being a defensive player. But you don't see that in the league now.
Yeah, you know, everybody wants to shoot three-pointers. You know, there's no more fast breaks. Guys just pull up. But right back then, you know, we had Derek Coleman and Kenny Anderson on the team. And I really couldn't get the ball. So a guy came over to me, a coach, Paul Solly, said, man, why don't you try doing some offensive rebounding, because those guys miss, you know, 70% of their shots. And I did that, and I had like 16 offensive rebounds one game. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool, because I had no pressure on me the next day, because all I had to do was go out and hustle, set picks, dive on the floor, and rebound when all these guys had to go out and shoot. So they didn't sleep at night, I slept at night. So hustle is a talent in basketball. So you have to find something you can do like you guys do here at the Breakfast Club. You know, y'all get it in. So, you know, and you change it up, and you're specialist at what you do. So that's why y'all are different than everybody. So that's what makes you guys so special.
And what was that big deal? I think it was like $35 million or something?
No, man, if it was $35 million, I'd be right here with y'all. And one of the wives take $35 million. No, it was close to about $90
million. Okay. $90 million contract, and then you got injured.
Yes, I got injured.
And then you didn't have to play again, and the contract was guaranteed.
NBA money guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
It's like the NFL.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but a lot of slack for
the
that?
NFL is not guaranteed,
right?
You know, but the NBA, yeah, you know, it was a serious injury. You know, Stephon Marbury fell into my knee and it broke. We was in surgery for 12 hours. I couldn't walk for almost a year. I tried to come back a couple of times, but then I broke the other foot on it. It was hard, man. You know, but when you lose your structure you know, coming destruction for me. I went out, tried to do some NBC. I was very good at it, but it was one day a week. And, man, my life just started falling apart. And, you know, went out to a basketball game with my dad and my adopted children at the time. My sisters, all three of my sisters died, two of AIDS. And I took their children out, and we went out to watch a Globetrotter game and saw some of the guys that were on the team that were playing that night, and they needed some help. And so I said, hey, man, come back to my house. We took a lot of the players there and some guys. It was nothing like the papers and everybody says it was a big party. It was kids there. We went back to eat. After we ate at the restaurant, the owner called a limousine because they came on their bus, a limousine, to take them to my house. We met Mr. Christofi, who was the driver. We rented for the night. He was cool. He had dinner with us and told some jokes, and then we went to my house, and instead of me showing, you know, Picassos and paintings and stuff, I started showing guns. And when we were handing off shotguns in the room, in my bedroom, where they were locked up, just showing them this one and that one, a gun went off and hit Mr. Christofi and killed him. And instead of stopping and just saying, hey, you know, we had an accident, I tried to cover it up. Why, I never know. I don't even remember what happened after that. And they said I jumped in the pool. I believe them, and just came up, and just from being a coward, I end up going to jail, not for the accident, but for doing the cover-up. And, I want to apologize to Mr. Christofi. I want to apologize to all the people that I let down, my family, my daughters, my fans, everybody, man. I don't like doing radio. I don't like doing TV no more. But, you know, I'm in a different world right now doing different things and trying to bring attention to the disease that I'm fighting right now.
Well, let's explain to the people, you know, what exactly you're talking about. In 2002, you accidentally shot and killed your limo driver with a shotgun at your house in Jersey. I feel like you haven't forgiven yourself for that yet.
So, I mean, it's tough, man. You know, down at Rebound Institute, down in Florida, where I help people suffering from addiction, I just start my day at 4:30 in the morning, and then I just go on until about 9 or 10, and I guess it's my defense mechanism because I'm helping people with their problems. I take the heat off of my problems, but nah, man, when you take something, everything a man has and gonna have accidentally, still, you can never live with that. So I kind of immerse myself into a bubble. That's where I'm at.
You said just now you regret trying to cover it up. Do you think your first reaction was because you was on drunk maybe or high or whatever it was?
Yeah, it had to be something. There was no alcohol in the case, but then again, you have lawyers. And if you first, everything is my fault, I take full responsibility. And I'm sorry, but I should have been around some people also. You know what happens, and Envy knows, I seen, you know, we ran out here, and you start getting around a crew that tells you, hey, man, you're playing bad, you're overweight, you look bad, take care of yourself. And the first thing you do is you push them to the side, and right. A new crew comes in, and then they start drama, and then they start stuff with the other crew, and they start drama so they can move up on protocol, you know, just put out fires. And before you know it, you know, you're around a whole bunch of people you don't know in bad situations. And, you know, if I was around my original crew, they probably would have slapped me and said, Jay, you had an accident. What the hell are you doing, man? Just stop. But I have to take responsibility for my reckless behavior. And like you said, man, it's tough.
I thought they said you were drunk that night, though.
I'll be quite honest with you. We had went out to a restaurant, and there was drinks going on. But alcohol was never my case. But was I drinking? To be quite honest, yes, I was drinking. So, you know, this is one of the reasons, you know, you still don't even realize, Charlamagne, what, you know, you'll go back to drinking and then go, I want to do something to forget stuff. And then here it comes again. You know, I have a disease that tells me I don't have a disease. You know, and I think I can conquer that. And then before you know it, you'll be right back in the same situation, man. So this is serious stuff. And that's why I merged myself into trying to help people down where I'm at. Right.
Yeah. How much time did you serve in prison?
I served 27 months.
27 months.
Yeah.
All right, we got more with Jason Williams, former NBA player, played for the New Jersey Nets, also the 76ers. When we come back, so don't move, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Jason Williams still in the building. Charlamagne?
Did you turn to alcohol like after you couldn't play in the NBA anymore?
No, I was drinking alcohol way before that. Drinking alcohol. And when you with your group of good friends, they would tell you, hey, man, you know, all right, you had two, you had three. You know, for me, 1,000 wasn't enough. And, you know, one was too many. So, you know, I was, but I would have structure at the time, Charlamagne. So I would go back home at a certain time because I had to play another game. And once I got hurt, it was all over, you know. Before, my dad was at 4:30 every morning. He'd be like, we're going to go feed these animals. We're going to get to this. We're going to get to this. And then you're going to do this. You're going to drive tractor trailer. You're going to lay brick. Then you go pay Michael Jordan's. You know, he always had that plural. He's a Southern guy. And he was my structure. So that's why where I'm at now, my treatment center, it's all about structure. You know, I'm on the gym at 4:44 every morning. And then I get home at 11 o'clock and I'm helping people and I'm doing the things I have to do. Because if you take that structure from me, man, I was self-destruct in a minute.
Yeah, you just launched the Rebound Institute in Florida. It's a private addiction treatment and wellness center. You know, what all does that entail?
Well, you know, one of the things, you know, I'm very uncomfortable still to this day coming on because we got to talk about the past. And every time my kids have to go to school, it's a whole new set of people that have to listen to it. Right. And then they don't know about it. And people, it's almost like pulling off a scab. But, you know, I want to bring awareness to this disease. Just if you had cancer and you have a disease, you go into your employment, you know, system program or your human resources and you say, hey man, I got a problem, and they can't tell you what it is. You just tell them I got anxiety or whatever. You got HIPAA laws that protect you. They can't fire you. They can't penalize you. And then you go down and you get yourself treatment. I was 48 years old and I didn't know you can go get treatment. I didn't know what treatment centers was. I just know that, you know, other folk of wouldn't know what treatment center was, and they would go down, they'd go away for, you know, 45 days and come back, still have their job, still got paid, and they're better. And so this is what we did at Rebound Institute. So I opened up a small place to keep me well. Curtis Martin from the Jets recommended that. Charles Oakley, you guys are familiar with, said, man, just stay down here, Jay. Open up a small place, you know, and just help people. And I'm not helping anybody, to be quite honest with y'all. They helping me, because when you drop a loved one off with me for 45 days and I pick them up, I pick up every single, we don't call them clients, we call them teammates. I pick up a teammate from the office, I mean from the airport or wherever they're at, they're with me for 45 days, and that gives me 45 more days of sobriety and doing the right thing. So, you know.
What made you stop finally drinking?
Like, I don't think you stopped. I think you're a patient in your own facility.
Yeah.
What you're telling us.
Do you still drink?
No, I don't drink. Mm-hmm. But I could tell you one thing. If I don't stay where I'm at and stay around that group of people, then I will drink. You know, I'm an owner, but I'm also the patient, and we're small. And, hey, man, it's, you know, it's a pretty good situation that I'm in, helping people who really helping me. You know, when I speak to people, say, Jay, you gotta, and we have athletes. So we have a lot of athletes that come in there. And one of the things I try to tell them and be is like, hey, man, when you leave here, you know, it's up to you. But let people know, you know, you have a disease that tells you don't have a disease. And let people know they can go get treatment. Because people, when they leave, they'd be like, hey, man, I don't want to do this because I got to get back. I got a sneaker endorsement. I got this. It's okay, man. You know, it's a disease. So come back down here and let people know, hey, there is treatment centers, because as African-Americans, we keep insurance. We just don't want to use it. We don't run up our insurance. Or we don't know that if you have a drug or alcohol problem, just go in there to your EAP and your human resource and say that and come down to get better, especially with athletes, man. But, you know, I understand where they're at. They're at a situation where if they let people know what they're doing, then they're going to lose endorsement.
Affect the other money.
You got tased by the police once, too.
Man.
You was in a hotel, and you were saying you were going to kill yourself.
Yeah, well, I wasn't. You know what happened? I went and was drinking and then took some medicine, some Xanax, which I've never taken before, and just bugged out. And then the police came, bust through the door, and I thought they was in there to rob me because I had just left home, and I took $500,000 and watches and put it in and then closed the safe. When they came in, I was like, y'all ain't robbing me. And I was like, man, what you going to do with that? You know, and that was a little one of them little plastic tase guns. I was butt naked. And let me tell you something. When they hit you with that, your damn nuts hit the gun. Man, and I was trying, it knocked me into his feet. And I was like, man, like I'm trying to tell him, don't hit that no more. You know, and he, my nuts again. And he kept hitting it, man. And, you know, because I'm a big dude. And, well, when you get hit with that taser butt naked and you ain't having a good day, boy, that damn man, it's a mess up in there. So
when did the suicidal thoughts start? Did they start after your NBA career was over or after the limo driver?
After the limousine driver.
Gotcha.
You know, because NBA is just a game, you know, and we a bunch of overpaid people in sports anyway, you know, school teachers and police officers and stuff like that should be making money, not, you know, NBA guys. So I understood that. My dad worked 60 hours a week laying brick. So I knew I was blessed there. Is that when you accidentally take a man's life, you can never live with that, man. Just every time you watch TV, you hear bang, you hear this. It's tough, man. It's a tough situation. Mm. And I don't expect it to be. And I'm not asking anybody for pity or anything else. I'm here just to try to lift the stigma and off this addiction stuff and go get help and stay in my bubble down there where I'm good at right now. And as far as suicide thoughts go, I stay so busy letting people help me that I'm doing pretty well right now, Sean. Doing pretty well.
Now, Charles Oakley's a good friend of yours.
Mm-hmm.
He loaned you $20,000 in college. Wasn't that illegal?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. What Oak did was, because we didn't want to ever get Lou Carter II in trouble at St. John's University. You know, we love him. He was the coach. So we would, whoever was going to make the league would loan the guy who's going to make the league the next year some money. And I would go in there and I would ask Mark Jackson. He's probably going to be upset about this conversation. And I know he listens to you guys. So I'm like, hey, man, you got that money? You going to lend me that money? Like, nah, man, you got to come on to the gym. You know, come to the Madison Square Garden. I'll give it to you. No problem. You know, Mark, you know, preacher.
Fast,
you know,
off,
yeah. So he come in. Yeah, come in. So after like the fifth game, I was in the locker room and Oak came up and said, hey, man, how many times you asked that man for that money? I said, 5. Man, you asked the man two times. He ain't got no money. He said, man, you leave him alone. He said, how much you need? I said, 15. So I'm going to give you 20, but you're going to give me back 25. And and the day I got drafted, he was right there to get his money. And I gave it back to him. And that's my Charles Oakley. And we've been friends. He comes down. He caters the food. He's down at Rebound Institute probably about 3 or 4 days out of the month.
How did you feel when you saw him getting dragged out the garden?
I'm going to tell you something. I was more perturbed with, you know, James Dolan, the owner of the Cablevision and the Knicks, because when you in sobriety, one thing you never do is you never test another man's sobriety when you're in the program. And he's in the program. And this is like...
Oakley is.
Oakley. No, I'm talking about in recovery. Okay. James Dolan is in recovery. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So for him to put out a press release... You know, 2 minutes after the incident happened and say that Oak was drunk or Oak needs help, that's what made me angry. Because as long as I know Charles Oakley, I've seen him have a couple of drinks, but I've never seen him drunk.
Right? So Dolan's a recovering alcoholic.
He's recovering something. He's in the program.
You just put a lot of things in perspective for Knicks fans. Because Knicks fans be like, is James Dolan high?
Oh, what about all the moves?
Now we find out that he's recovering something.
We'll say allegedly. We'll say allegedly anyway. But yeah, now we get it. If somebody wants to be a part of the program, what do they need to do?
It don't cost anything, and it's insurance paid. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. You just go in there and you got insurance. We got insurance. You go in there and say it, and your insurance covers it.
Okay.
Did you ever want to reach out to anybody like Lamar Odom, maybe?
I don't have a relationship with Lamar. Lamar's doing very well. I've heard he's like 9 or 10 months, man. And that's all I care for. I don't care where you go. Just get better.
Got you.
Yeah.
Well, we thank you for joining
us. Man, I thank you, man.
Yeah, sharing your story, man, for real.
Jason Williams, of course, from the, I'll say, the New Jersey Nets, man. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club.
Can we say happy born day to N.O.R.E., man? Drop one of Clues Bombs for N.O.R.E.
And shout out to Nori.
I was just about to say that. Happy birthday, Nori. He is 40 years young today.
Happy birthday, 40 Club. Salute to N.O., man.
Yes, he put out, it's his birthday. Who else's birthday did he say it is today?
He did
a whole post on everybody else who also has a birthday today.
Uh-huh.
Happy birthday, Nori.
Shout out to N.O. He listens every morning. Happy birthday, N.O. Now let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Ursha.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Oh, he said it's Foxy Brown and John Wall's birthday today also.
And John Wall, Foxy Brown.
All right, so the woman who was accusing Usher of exposing her to herpes, Quantasia Sharpton, did an interview, and she told YouTube vlogger Miss Jacob Kohinoor that she actually has proof.
Stop lying.
that she had sex with Usher. Here's what she said.
I actually have videos, and I have things in my phone that date back all the way to 2013. I keep everything in my phone.
So he knew that you were recording him?
Yeah. This is why I kept saying people lie, but videos don't.
Stop lying. If you had that, you would have put that out. That would have been your first card you would have played. Usher would have settled. Stop it. Knock it off. Who do you think you fooling, girl?
Now, she also says that Lisa Bloom, who's her attorney, is trying to subpoena hotel surveillance video that shows Usher going to that room at the Days Inn.
Why do I got to do that if you got a video? If you got your own personal video, why she got a subpoena, appease, whatever, surveillance video? If you got your own video. That's why people be calling people fat. Because of stuff like this.
What does this have to do with it? Nothing,
because this is when you get upset at her and just want to call her all kind of names because you know she's lying.
What name you want to call her?
Nothing. I'm not going to even do that.
Yeah,
I'm not
don't
even
do
be
that.
Petty.
Nothing to do with her weight.
I'm rereading the four agreements for the 15th time, so I'm trying to just, you know, be a better person.
Yeah, that's out the window already. You got to start over.
All right, so now Lathan has debuted a new hairstyle. She shaved her head off.
She's bald?
Yeah, she's bald. I don't know if you guys...
Oh, she has a Caesar. Oh, no, she's bald.
Well, it's really low, pretty much. It's like your hair, basically. But good thing is, A, she has a great shaped head. I have like all kinds of bumps on my head if I feel my head, so I know I can never do something like that. I think it looks good, but she's doing this because she has that show on Netflix, Napoli Ever After. So she's had a whole bunch of different hairstyles, if you guys have been following her on Instagram. Now, the movie follows a woman named Violet, who Sanaa Lathan plays, who has a seemingly flawless life until an accident at the hairdresser causes everything to unravel.
Wow.
And she realizes she was living the life she thought she was supposed to live, not the one that she really wanted.
She went really in for this role. Huh?
I mean, by the way, there's nothing Sanaa Lathan can do to make herself look terrible.
She still looks good.
Sanaa Lathan is amazing.
Are you sure? All right. You know how they have that makeup where they make it look like you're bald, but you're not really bald.
I don't know how you can put makeup over your hair.
No, they put the mask on where it makes it look. You never seen that before?
It could be Photoshop, but it's not.
Huh. I mean, she's been documenting all of her different hairdos throughout this whole experience.
There's no other hairdo after this one. This one, you just got to let chill for a little bit.
Well, hair grows back. Mm-hmm. And she could always wear a wig, which a lot of people do.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Sanaa Lathan got that face.
But it looks good. She looks good. I think it looks nice.
Yes, she does.
All right, 50 Cent. He has been beefing with stars, telling people to unsubscribe after the season finale of Power, which just happened. Well, good news. He just got off the phone with the head of stars. He said, new deal, more power coming your way. Next season, there will be less of a wait. Thanks for supporting me. I can't believe how much money they just gave me. That ish just F with my nerves. My hand is shaking. LOL, turn that ish back on now.
Drop on the clues bomb for 50 Cent being a petty ass cancer.
He's a big bully that gets things done.
He's not a bully.
I love the way he does it.
He's not a bully.
Turn stars off.
He's just an outspoken cancer. And he speaks what he feels in the moment. And then he speaks what he feels in the next moment.
That's my guy.
They call us bipolar and all kind of stuff, but it don't matter. That's who we are.
He did a good job with that. Feels like he did the same thing with F.
He does. I love it.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
I'm going to make 50 my manager. 50, go give me more money. Turn it off. Turn it back on. And then give it to him.
He's ready to get more money from you.
Yeah, right. It's all bad.
It's really a simple method.
My goodness.
I'm leaving. I'll be back when you want to pay me what I'm worth. All right? It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, who are you giving your donkey to?
I don't know yet, man. I'm just going.
What?
I really don't know. Because, life is very confusing right now. Like, it's just so many people I want to talk about. Like, whether it's Ray Lewis, whether it's Jason Whitlock, whether it's this whole DACA situation. What's it called? Did I pronounce it right?
DACA.
Like, it's just, I don't know.
You got 4 minutes to figure it out, bro.
I'm going
to
be all right.
All right.
I can wing it.
All right, four.
Donkey of the day.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the donkey of the day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit it with the heat.
Yes, the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, September 6th. It's getting to the point where I come in here and I don't know who to give Donkey of the Day to. The world is vibrating at the lowest of frequencies right now. The energy of the world is off, and I don't think we can operate with this kind of energy swirling around us much longer. My thoughts really are everywhere, okay? Like, in my mind, I want to give Jason Whitlock of Fox Sports 1 the biggest hee-haw, but then I want to give Fox Sports 1 the biggest hee-haw, but I honestly, truly... didn't know they still made Negroes like Jason Whitlock anymore. And I said I wouldn't talk about him anymore until he lost weight. And I know that his portly ass feeds off the attention he receives from social media. Oh, he eats up the fact that we mention his name, that we tweet at him. That's why he keeps attacking Mr. Colin Kaepernick, because that's the only way we, the culture, care about his fat ass, okay? It's become so blatant that he uses Kaepernick as fodder for his show because it gets people talking, it rouses people up. Like yesterday on Fox Sports 1, he had a guy come on wearing a Kaepernick jersey with an afro and holding up a black fist. But what Jason Whitlock doesn't understand is you're not just making a mockery of Colin Kaepernick when you do stuff like that. You are making a mockery of all black and brown people and the police brutality and injustices they are facing at the hands of the police in America. This is why I don't understand why Fox Sports 1 and the producers of these shows like Speak for Yourself allow Jason Whitlock to keep slapping black America in the face, okay? This is your fault. I'm putting the blame on Fox Sports 1 and the producers of the show. I don't expect that fat fedora-wearing fool Jason Whitlock to care about black people, but I expect someone at Fox Sports 1, some producer, to ask why. Why are you always on Colin Kaepernick's head? You know why. Because it gets people talking about you. That's the only reason you do it, okay? Colin Kaepernick is not in the NFL right now. Colin doesn't give any interviews. Like, you are picking at this man for no reason. And to make fun of the fact that Colin did the right thing by doing something that you have done, that you have never done, and never will do, which is stand up for the rights of black and brown people, is at this point just disgusting. And I really wish black and brown people and allies of black and brown people of all races just stop paying attention to him, period. All right, don't watch Speak for Yourself or The Herd or whatever other show Jason Whitlock is on. They don't care about us, so why care about them? Fox Sports 1 has to pay for the sins of Jason Whitlock's gluttony, okay? If they want to make a mockery of black people and what black people are going through, just don't watch. Simple. As far as I'm concerned, every black man on that network except for Shannon Sharp is a sucker. Okay, and every white person on that network who doesn't speak out against Jason Whitlock is complicit in the blatant attack that Jason Whitlock has waged against Colin Kaepernick and black America and the injustices that black Americans are facing at the hands of the police. Once again, let me repeat myself so I'm clear. This is Charlamagne the God talking, so it's no mistake. Every black person at Fox Sports 1, except for Shannon Sharp, is a sucker. All right, because none of y'all speak out against Jason Whitlock, even if you don't agree with Colin Kaepernick. You have to agree with what Colin Kaepernick is protesting against, which is the unarmed killing of black and brown people in America at the hands of the police. For whatever reason, that tends to get lost in translation, okay? He's protesting against police brutality. Even if you don't agree with how he protested, you have to agree with what he's protesting against. And to be black and let Jason Whitlock make a mockery of that and not say nothing to him, that's just legendary sucker stuff to me. That's it. It makes you a complete sucker. And the white people who work at Fox Sports 1, all the producers who help him pull these stunts off, then you all must not give a damn about black people either. Because you're not just helping him make fun of Colin Kaepernick. Like I said, you're helping him make fun of what Colin Kaepernick is standing for. And I would love to ask the white people at Fox Sports 1 one simple question. Is the killing of unarmed black and brown people at the hands of the police funny to you? If it's not, then why? Why? Are you assisting Jason Whitlock and making fun of the real life struggles our people face on a daily basis? I didn't even mean to talk about that dude that long. I wanted to talk about a few things, but that's that's where the spirit took me, okay? So I just want to say, please give Fox Sports 1, and I guess Jason Whitlock, the biggest hee-haw. I'm trying not to feed this man attention.
I know you were moved. I know, because you don't even want to mention Jason Whitlock's name.
Yeah, I'm trying not to feed this man attention.
That's all you had for us this morning? I thought you had some more.
No, I thought I did too, but the spirit just moved me to speak on that.
Okay.
But it is what it is. I just don't feel like we should be feeding into that network at all anymore at this point. Because clearly,
you're giving them what they want.
They don't give a damn about what is going on with black and brown people. And if you are black, can you imagine working with somebody like him and you were black?
Nope. Wouldn't
you make him uncomfortable every day?
Yep.
Every single freaking day. You couldn't just walk around me, sit around me in meetings with all that BS you got going on. No, that just wouldn't work.
Couldn't eat around me. Mm-mm.
Shut up.
What?
All right, thank you for that donkey today. Up next, Ask Ye, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, you can call Ye right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
DJ Envy, Angela Ye, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
It's time for Ask Ye. Hello, who's this?
This is Jessica from Columbia, South Carolina.
803, hey, what's happening?
What's up, mama?
I'm going to be in Columbia soon.
Hi, Solomon. I love you. Hey, Angela. Hey, DJ Envy. I love y'all. I listen to y'all every morning. I'm on my way to work right now. So
we
I listen
love
to y'all
back.
Every morning.
All right, what's the problem this morning?
Okay, so I've been talking to my friend for a few months. Since
your friend or like a guy you're dating?
This is my man. Okay. He's my man now. We've been talking since June of this year, and he's been trying to talk to me for over a year now. So I finally made him my man, and I think I'm ready to fully commit by moving in with him, but I'm afraid. He's a real good man. He takes care of everything. He helps me out. I help him out. It's like we have a mutual understanding between each other. And I'm kind of afraid.
Afraid of what?
I'm just afraid of just moving because he stays all the way. I'm in Columbia. He stays all the way in Winnsboro. And that's just like 25 minutes mm-hmm. away from, you know, commuting. My kids going to school and...
Oh, so you're moving in, not just you, but you and your children and him.
Yes. Yes, and he gets along with my kids. My kids love him.
Let me ask you, how do you feel about him? Because it's weird that you called him, I've been talking to my friend, and then you said he was trying to talk to you for a year before you finally gave in. How do you feel about him?
I love him. We tell each other we love each other. We have deep conversations. He's very intelligent. We have very deep conversations. We get real deep about life, and that's what our conversation is what sparked me being more and more interested into him. Like the first 30 minutes of us talking on the phone, I said, this is going to be my man.
Okay.
And we've been talking ever since. I've been over there. He's been to my house.
So it feels like you just have some defenses, some walls up because you have children, obviously. So whatever you do affects your kids.
Yes.
Which is natural. So the only thing that's holding you back is that you're scared. Scared of what?
Because I've been in a 5-year relationship before and it didn't quite work out. I was cheated on. The girl moved in and took my place. I almost went to jail back in 2015 for fighting and beating people up. And I said, you know what? I'm not letting my heart go again. I guarded my heart, but he is the one who really broke my walls down.
You should feel blessed that you could find somebody, and you should not be punishing him for the mistakes that somebody else made before him.
That's true.
You know, each person is different, and I always feel like one of the worst things that you can do as a woman or as a man is just carry that baggage into another relationship, because you should not let somebody's past mistakes and the effed up stuff that they did to you affect your future, because then you're giving into that. You need to make sure you do what's right for you, what you want to do, what your heart tells you to do. If he has done nothing that makes you feel like you can't trust him and like y'all can't be together, then why would you stop and why would you resist that?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just afraid of.
But everything is a risk. Listen, with a great risk comes a great reward, right? No matter what you do or who you're with, it's a risk. He's taking a risk being with you too, because now he's taking on some additional responsibilities as well. And
right.
If he's ready to take that risk, you got to be ready to take that risk also.
Okay. I think I'm going to go ahead and do it. It's not going to be right now. It'll probably be like next month.
Hey, listen, and take your time. There's no rush for y'all to move in together. If you're not ready to do it, you don't have to do it. Y'all can continue to date just like you have been.
Yes.
But
giving it to the Lord. That's what I need to do.
Yes, and listen, don't limit yourself, okay? Don't cheat yourself out of what could potentially be a great relationship. You know what? Worst thing that happens is you learn a lot. I'm sure you learned a lot from your last relationship of what you'll never do again.
Right.
And to pay attention to those red flags moving forward.
Right.
And if you don't have those red flags right now.
Because, you know, it's different when you move in with someone.
It is different.
Like, they really show their true colors. But I've been over there and I stayed with him the entire weekend.
Right.
And
girl, you could just keep on doing that. You don't got to move in right now.
Right.
If you're not 100% sure, then don't do it. But I will say that you need to go ahead and let those walls down and experience this relationship. Don't move in together right now. You don't have to. 25 minutes ain't that long.
Right. Right. Well, I'm thinking about it. I've been praying about it, and God has been pushing me further and further into his arms. So
okay.
I think I'm going to give it a shot.
Okay,
Thank you so much.
Take your time, but before you give it a shot, let your walls down and experience what love is really about.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank y'all. I love y'all. Tonight, it's good talking to y'all, and I listen to y'all every morning, so definitely... Charlamagne, keep giving shouts out to South Carolina.
You already know, boo.
Thank you, mama. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Christian.
Hey, what's your question for Yee?
I wanted to know why. Well, me and my girl broken up for the past week. We've been together for 2.5 years, and for some reason, she got mad at me. Because I just saw a snap on her phone. Nothing that serious, but that whole day just went down, and she just like no longer want to be with me. And it's been like that for the past week.
You saw a snap on her phone?
Yeah, because she it was just like a selfie. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning, like of herself, and she was just like, "Oh, I was up or whatever." And then I was just like, "Oh, that's weird." She took a picture at that time, and then then she snatched the phone, and then she just got mad. And like in a couple of hours after that, she was just telling me like, "Oh, I don't want to do this anymore." And, like, she got all emotional, and I was like, what the hell did I do? Like, I haven't done nothing. And she was just like, no, it's just me. And she was like, it has nothing to do with you. And it's been like that for the past week, and she keeps reminding me that it's not me. And then I haven't hit her up for, like, a whole week, because this is the most, like, I've never seen her this way. And I told her, like, what's going on? We should go through it together. I can help you out, but she's not trying to have any of that. She just don't want to keep in contact or nothing.
I don't understand what happened.
I don't know either. I'm confused myself. It has me all like, my mind is going all types of ways. I'm like, what did I do? I could have done this right. And then her friend reached out to me. She was like, I know like what's going on. Like, keep your head up and trust me, it has nothing to do with you. It's just her. I don't know what's
going on. You think she done found somebody else?
No, she told me that day that we talked about it because, of course, that was something I thought about, like, are you sure it's not somebody else? Because if it is, you can tell me, because if not, I'm not going to waste my time and go about your day, because I'm not going to sit here and stress over no other guy. We've been together for like 2.5 years, and she's like, no, I swear to God, it's not nobody else. It's just me. And I don't know. I've never seen it this way, so I'm so confused. I'm like, what?
Is she going through something that she had told you about previously that this could...
No, not really. I mean, she just started school again. She's back in school, like her third year, so I don't think so. Like,
I don't know if there's enough information here for me to tell you what to do, because she hasn't told you anything. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, her own friends don't even know. And they're telling her, like, why are you passing up on this opportunity? Like, he treats you good. He respects you. I've never disrespected her like that. Like, yeah, I've yelled and stuff like that, but, like, normal couple stuff. But she's just telling me, like, it's not you.
Okay, and she keeps saying it's not you. I don't really know what to tell you. I can't really give you advice on something that we don't know what's happening. All I could tell you is that when she's ready to talk to you, maybe she will.
What? Yeah, her friends are telling me, like, if you know you're not doing nothing, I think you should just make her miss you and don't give her any contact, because she's so used to, like, I'm used to, like, saying good morning every morning. You know, I'm
and you said nothing like this has ever happened before.
Nah, this, like, we have arguments. We haven't talked for, like, 2 or 3 days, but that's, like, normal stuff, like, whenever we argue. But this is, like, the first time. And she even told her friends, like, I swore it's nothing to do with him. It's just me, like... And I think her friend told me she feels like she needs to, like, to miss me or something like that to see what she has. And I told her, if you're going to go through it once we're not together...
I feel like her friends might really know what's happening, but they can't tell you because those are her friends.
Right.
So you don't really know what's happening. You know what? Time will tell.
It definitely will.
Yeah.
I've never been through this, and it's just, like, randomly happened. I'm just like, what the hell's going on?
It feels like there's something going on, and she's avoiding telling you because maybe she's not confrontational.
Yeah.
And maybe it is. I couldn't tell you what it is, though, sir. I mean, my first thought would be that, did she find somebody else? Is she feeling like she doesn't want to be in a relationship with you anymore? You know, if she found something that you did, I would think that she'll be mad at you and confront you about that. But it sounds like... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what's happened before, where she was like, oh, like, I'm mad at you about this. And she wouldn't talk to me for like a couple of hours. Like, what's going on? She's like, oh, I know this and this and that. But, like, this just randomly happened, and our friends are shocked. I'm shocked, and I'm just, like, sitting here thinking, like, what could have done?
Yeah, she might have did something behind your back, and she doesn't really want to tell you about it. So, I don't know. But I will say this. Time will tell. You can't force her to tell you what it is until she's ready.
So you think I should just give her space? Or like
yes,
that?
Definitely give her space. That's what she wants.
Yeah, because the friends are telling me, like, they know it's not nobody else. Like, they told me that, and I'm...
Her friends
know,
are
like,
not going to tell you what it is. Those are her friends.
Yeah.
So, it is what... I mean, you just got to chill. Let her know. Just be like, listen, when you're ready to talk, let me know. In the meantime...
Yeah, I gave her that option. I was like, oh...
Because it's really... It's not... It's kind of not fair to you. But all you can do is when she's ready to talk, she'll have to talk to you. Until then, you know, it's kind of immature.
Yeah, she just said that what she... I told her, like, when we talk, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to, like, curse or anything. Like, just tell me know what's going on. But she's like, it's selfish if I stay with you, knowing that I don't want to.
Okay, well, there it is. She don't want to be with you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, keep us updated. I would love to know what happened.
I mean, I hope so.
You'll find out eventually.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Ask E 800-585-1051. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Listen, I can't help you if I don't know what's going on. Yes, let's talk about Bill Cosby and Steve Harvey. Bill Cosby told Steve Harvey, stay away. We'll tell you how he actually responded to that.
Okay. All that and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
What's happening?
Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Chance the Rapper.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. Rumor, rumor, rumor. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Now, Chance the Rapper has made an announcement. You know he's so big on making sure that the public schools in Chicago are improving. He has a $2.2 million fundraising effort that's going to help out 20 Chicago public schools. And now he has announced something new that he's doing. Here's what Chance the Rapper had to say.
In June of 2018, the city of Chicago will host the first ever annual Twilight Awards, highlighting teachers, parents, principals, and students that convey leadership with special guest performances. And it will be hosted by the one and only James Corden.
That's going to be a big deal. So shout out to Chance the Rapper for doing big things, because that is what encourages these kids to want to get involved in community service and their education and everything, and also our educators.
Chance is a great guy.
Chicago needs that.
He's a great guy.
We all need that, as a matter of fact. All right. Now, there's a new Tupac documentary that's going to be coming to Oxygen. It's going to air on September 10th, which is just 3 days after the anniversary of the shooting that actually ended up taking Tupac's life. They're going to talk about his final hours and try to solve the decades-old mystery. Here is part of a trailer from that.
In the mid-90s, hip-hop was coming to the forefront of mainstream media.
He was this sort of Pac tornado rolling through the world.
Pac was super big.
Biggie and Tupac, two of the biggest artists in hip-hop.
They were two peas in a pot.
They're two big egos. They know the street. They know hip-hop. I mean, like, how could they not be friends, right?
Hey, it's amazing to me that those stories never get older. Like, I watched that whole Life of Biggie documentary the other day, and it all seems so fresh and so brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if it's the mystery of who killed them or what, but for whatever reason, those stories don't get old.
Now, according to this documentary, Tupac himself knew who shot him, and he knew that from his deathbed. So they're going to be having these interviews with people that were very close to him and that were around him during that
time.
How
do you know Tupac knew who shot him?
I guess they said they asked him on his deathbed.
Oh, he was in a coma for 7 days.
Listen, watch the documentary.
Stop it, man. What are they talking
watch
about?
The documentary, okay?
My goodness.
All right, now John Legend says that he almost broke up with Chrissy Teigen years ago, and I'll tell you what saved them. Now, he said he tried breaking up with her. The breakup lasted only an hour and a half. He said he was really stressed and busy. He was like, I'll just be happier single right now. And you know what she told him? No. So that was it. He tried to break up with her. She told him no, and they're still together to this day.
Oh, women always know what's best for us.
Now, she tweeted out, it wasn't a typical breakup. He was on tour, his voice hurt, and he was being a whiny face about everything. And so, yeah, I was like, no.
Yeah. Women always know what's best for us. I bet you John Legend is happy that she made that decision for them.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny? When you try to break up with somebody and then they call you later like nothing ever happened. I can't stand when people break up all the time, too, for no reason. Like, they just get mad and then break
when
up.
When you try to break up with somebody and they just ignore you. Okay, so listen, I'll be
what
over
do you
at
do
5.
Later? Yeah. That's a good way to go about it. All right, congratulations to Rick Ross. Apparently, he had a baby with Brianna Camille is the woman's name. She's a fitness model. And he's already been getting her some great gifts. Apparently, she posted pictures that he's gotten for their baby already. So congratulations to the two of them. Mm-hmm. And Beyonce, George Clooney, and Oprah are all going to be doing a Hurricane Harvey relief telethon. That telethon is Hand in Hand, a benefit for Hurricane Harvey relief. That's going to air live September 12th at 8 p.m. It's going to be on ABC, CBS, CMT, Fox, and NBC. And it will also stream live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. It's a one-hour special. There will be performances and messages from Jamie Foxx, Matthew McConaughey, Julia Roberts, Adam Sandler, Ryan Seacrest, Carly Kloss, Rob Lowe, Blake Shelton, Michael Strahan, Barbara Streisand, Reese Witherspoon, whole bunch of people. So Bun B also organized Hand in Hand along with Scooter Braun, and proceeds from that telethon will benefit various different charities. So that's a great thing. Make sure you guys check that out on September 12th. Now, Steve Harvey says that Bill Cosby has been instrumental in his career. He said he hasn't talked to him in a few months, but when I'm your friend, I'm your friend. He said Bill Cosby helped my sons in Morehouse, and he taught me how to do this business. He didn't even know me, and he taught me how to do this business. He said, when I heard all the trouble he was in, I called and asked him how he was doing. And you know what he said to me? He said, hey, man, I appreciate you calling, but just stay away from me right now. You don't need none of this on you. You're doing good. Whatever happens to me, happens to me, but don't you get none of this on you.
That's so real.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing to say to somebody. Just stay away. You don't even got to be my friend right now. I want to make sure.
Stay away. I'm toxic.
You're good. Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to be toxic, too.
Don't get any of this whack juice on you. All right. And Ray Shurmur is being sued. A fan says he got hit with a water bottle. Now, this man is saying that they were throwing water bottles into the crowd that caused serious disfiguration and distress. This was a concert that happened in October of 2016. He said that they were full water bottles that were catapulted into the audience. One of them struck him in the face, and that throw was so forceful that a chunk of his face came off. If you have Revolt TV, you can actually see a picture of what the man's face ended up looking like.
Oh, no. Somebody hit him. Don't blame that on the damn water bottle.
So he's suing for negligence, assault, and battery, and he wants them to pay for his medical bills and other damage.
They was in the mosh pit having a good time. Somebody elbowed him in the nose. Had
it
nothing
awful.
To do with a bottle.
I've never seen a water bottle
ouch.
Like that.
Ain't no bottle of design he did that.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Up next is the People's Choice Mix. Let me know what you want to hear at DJ Envy Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow.